Matthew chapter 28. Get this headset on. Should work a little bit better for you, those on the call. Thank you for joining our service. I'm glad my singing didn't chase you away for those that are on the phone and those that are here. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to start reading verses 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, it's a wonderful blessing to be saved. Lord, it's a wonderful blessing to know that if something happens to me today, that I'd be in heaven. Lord, it's a wonderful blessing of everything that you have done for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given us as a comforter and to help us to understand your word. We are thankful for your word. Lord, even though I'm not happy with a lot of things that I'm seeing happening in America, I am so glad that I am saved and I'm American. And Lord, I can't imagine living in another country other than this great country that you have blessed us with. Lord, we thank you so much, Father, for sending your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross to pay our sin debt. And Lord, we remember back almost 2,000 years ago when he arose from the dead. What a wonderful blessing it is that knowing that he is alive and well and Lord, sitting on the right hand. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us today as we hear your word. Lord, help people to take it in, the truth. And Lord, draw those that don't know you to you and those that are saved. I pray our heart would be encouraged from your word. Well, thank you for that. Keep a hedge over us. Keep us safe. We ask to Jesus in your precious name. Amen. This morning I'll be preaching on, we serve a risen Savior. And here in this scripture, the reality is we're looking back to almost 2,000 years ago of what happened. And as we look back to this glorious day, as we rejoice, the truth is, you think about it, we are blessed because we have the completed Word of God. We can go back and look to it. But you think about for them, when they first went there, what we see here is these ladies, they were going there to anoint his body. And the reality is, there were some things they should have been aware of. They should have saw it in Scripture. They should have been aware of it in this Word. They were blinded to some stuff. They just didn't see everything. But I want you to think about, when we think about this glorious day as believers, the reality is this. We could see the evidence of the resurrection. We see the evidence. You see that in verses 5 through 9. The evidence of the resurrection. And so as these ladies were going to anoint his body, they asked a question. You go through the other gospels and they were wondering, who's going to roll away the stone for us, you know, that we can anoint his body. They were going there, and then that earthquake that happened, and the angel came and rolled back that stone that was there, and they were frightened when they got there. They didn't know what was going on, and we see this angel in verse 5, tell him the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And if you go through Scripture and add things up, you see Mary Magdalene, she kind of runs off and trying to figure out what's going on. Or I think the ladies went off. Sometimes I go too fast, too much coffee maybe. But anyway, they were a little bit of excitement. They were thinking what's going on. And man, what we see is down in verse 9, as they were going to tell his disciples, they met Jesus. And as they met Jesus that was there, the Bible says he said, "Oh, hail to them." They knew who it was. Their eyes were open. They saw who it was. They knew that it was their Lord. And the Bible says they held him by the feet and worshiped him. Amen. What a glorious thing it must have been, those ladies that were there. That actually, they were confused. They didn't know what was going on. They were thinking about anointing his body. And then when they're there and they're going on their way, they see him with their actual eyes. And here it is. They held him at his feet. Folks, I want you to understand, when he rose in his body. It was a body, amen? There's some cults out there that will teach that he didn't rise in his body. No, he did, amen? He rose in his body. They held him by his feet. They worshiped him. You could see that he was God in the flesh, amen? Because no one should receive worship other than God himself, amen? And that's what Jesus did. And what we see is this. These ladies could testify that Jesus was alive. There was evidence that was there. But you know, it wasn't just those ladies who saw him. But there was others. There were others who saw Jesus alive and well. Look at the Bible says over here to the book of 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it wasn't just them that when they went to the grave and saw him, but there were others. Look what the Bible says. If you need help, go to the front of your Bible in the concordance. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. You can find Corinthians there. And then you go to chapter 15 when you get there, and then you look at verse 1. I want you to think about the evidence. So we have the witnesses. There's witnesses that literally saw him alive and well. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start reading at verse 1 down through verse 8. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." What is he saying? You are born again. If you truly trusted Christ as your Savior, you had a repentant heart. That means you saw your sin as what you are. You sinned against God. That you have this sorrow that's of your in your heart over your sins. And you trust in Jesus Christ. He died for you, was buried and rose again. You truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't in vain, right? It was just not something someone told you to do, or not because you're doing it because your buddy did it or whatever. But you did it by faith. What he's saying is you're born again. Amen. If you did it for any other reason, reality is you believed in vain. Amen. You need to be saved. And verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. I want you to see there, as I stop there for a second, where he talks about Cephas, and we know Cephas would have been Peter, right? Simon Peter. And here it is, we have a witness of Peter. Peter was a witness to say that he saw Jesus alive. I'll come back to some of this, and says after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, right? And all the apostles, again, would refer that Peter was there. You go through scriptures, you can see that. Peter saw the Lord. Matter of fact, you know, remember there was a two on the way to Emmaus when Jesus found them. When they came to him and they were, they didn't know it was Jesus. And he talked to them and their heart burned. And when they ate something, their eyes were opened up. And they said, "Hey, we have seen the Lord." And they reference how Peter saw him. Amen? So Peter saw him a couple times. If you go through scripture, you can see that. But anyway, Peter. What do we know about Peter? Right? Here it is. Peter is the one who saw the Lord. Well, what do you think about? Well, when I think about Peter and think about before he saw the Lord, I remember that he denied him. Look what the Bible says back here to the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26. Here it is. "But when our Lord was going to die on the cross for our sins, as he was betrayed." And we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69 down to verse 75. That it talks about Peter and what Peter did when Jesus was going to the cross to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 down at verse 69. The Bible says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel," that would be a young lady, "came unto him and saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he had gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. He began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Here it is when Jesus was betrayed, and here was, you know, after the garden, and he was going in there, and he looked. Here was a young lady that was there. And think about this. Peter could not even stand up to speak the truth to a young lady. You know? I mean, he was one of the disciples. He didn't have the courage, the boldness that was there. He was scared, he was ashamed. And this young lady said that, you know, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. And then there was another maid that came in. He's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And others, he said, nope, three times he denied him. But you know, I want you to understand, when you look over here to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, and you look here at verse 14, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, this same Peter who denied him, that would not stand up to this young maid that was here, the Bible says another maid and the others that were there, he would not stand up and say that he knew Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 14, look at this. In front of now thousands of people, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, this be known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now jump down here, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered unto the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up and loosed, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Jump down here to verse 32. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes a footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What happened? I mean, here it was a few days ago, a little bit because of the time of Pentecost, but not too long ago, what was it? Peter could not even stand up. There was a little maid, a girl that came to him and said, Hey, don't you know Jesus? And he said, No, I don't. And someone else came to him and he was like, No. And then when they confronted him, Diane, he started to swear and cuss. They said, Hey, your voice, the words that you say, you don't sound like one of us. He said, All right, I'll make it sound like I do. I want to fit in so that way I don't stick out. And he started to swear and cuss. I don't know Jesus. I'm not going to say what he said because I don't know, and it's the best thing we don't know, amen. But he said, I deny him. I don't know him. And here, a little bit of time later, Debbie, he gets up and preaches. And it wasn't just a little maid, and it wasn't just a little group there, Chris. There were thousands of people. The Bible tells us that there were over thousands that got saved. I believe it was in later on, it says in verse 42 at the end, about 3,000 souls. That was 3,000 souls that got saved. That doesn't tell you of all the other thousands that were there that did not receive Christ. Because you think about it, it was probably 5,000 or more that was there. You imagine having an audience. And here it is, out of all peoples, Peter stands up, the one who denied him before a little girl, another maid and others, stands up before those over 5,000, 10,000, I don't know how many people, and says, "Hey, I want you to know, he's alive." He didn't deny him. What happened? Yes, I know that the Holy Spirit came and entered in, and yes, God gave him boldness. But Marilyn, he saw the resurrected Savior. He's alive. The one that was in the corner that was scared and was hiding. No, not anymore. He was in front of him and saying, "I want you to know that Jesus is alive." He said, "We are witnesses. Witnesses." Folks, I want you to understand, you see the boldness of Peter. What changed? He's alive. Why would Peter risk his life? You know, when he did that, the truth of the matter is this. When he then stood up and said, "That I want you to understand that you guys have crucified him," he just put a big old X on his back. Peter ended up dying. He became a martyr. Why would he do that? The one that was before that said, "Hey, I just want to..." No, because he's alive and well. He saw Jesus. Amen? Folks, I want you to understand, it wasn't just those ladies that held Jesus by the feet and ultimately worshipped him. I want you to see that it was Peter himself who saw him. Look at the Bible says, you look back here to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking down here at verse 5 again, 5, and then we'll jump down to verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, "And that he was seen of Cephas," and then it says, "then of the 12, jump down here to verse 7, "and after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." Now, it refers to the 12 because that's the easiest way for us to remember. At that time, you remember, Judas went out and hung himself. He was dead, so it was really the 11. But that's how people remember when they say the 12 apostles, right? Or 12 disciples, that's what you remember. But that's what it's referring to, right? It was them, the apostles. Now, what do you think about the apostles before Jesus died on the cross? The Bible tells us in prophecy that they all forsook him. Remember when Jesus was there and he was in the garden, that those people came out and Judas betrayed him with a kiss? And he said something like this, "Whom seek thee?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he." Can I tell you, when he said, I am he, is referring back to the Old Testament when Moses said, "Who shall I tell them that sent me?" He said, "I am that I am." And when Jesus said, "I am he," the Bible says they all fell backwards. And he says, "Let them go." It was his disciples. And the Bible tells us that they all forsook him. All his disciples left him. And Jesus was left there. Do you ever think about this? When Jesus died on the cross and he cried out those words, "Eli, Eli, adamai sabachthani." That's what scripture, I'm not speaking in tongues. Well, I'm speaking in, I guess, Hebrew, you could say that. But the reality is, when he said that, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Do you know what that means? That God the Father, that sin was placed on him and forsook him. I want you to understand this, that darkest day of that hour, that Jesus died alone. That Julianne, that you never have to die alone. You know that? Jesus died alone because he paid for your sins. He was forsaken. Folks, you never have to die alone if you're born again. Amen? Because he is always there. I'm telling you, that's a wonderful blessing. You think about it. But they all forsook him. They all left. All the disciples, they were gone. Amen? I had a time, I wasn't the best of a kid when I was growing up. And I had a friend. His name was Chris. Chris always got in trouble, right? He always got in trouble. Amen? And Chris was a little shorter guy. Sometimes, I don't know why it is, but it seems like sometimes the shorter guys are the ones that start stuff, and then ultimately it has to be the bigger guys, right, to try to handle it, right? And I'm just this little skinny guy. I may have been taller, but skinny. But I remember we were at a football game, and Chris started something with these people, these group of guys, right? And I look around, and you know what happened, Rachel? I look around, there's a big crowd of these guys that Chris was making fun of. Chris somehow slipped out, and I'm in the middle of all these guys, you know? He forsook me. He was gone, amen? All I could say is it's a good thing that police officer came, because I was going to have a big old, I was going to get hurt, amen? I don't know what else to say. They were going to get me pretty good, probably, amen, but at least got someone, baby. But he forsook me. I mean, he left, amen? You know, it was like, Chris, where are you at, amen? I would have threw Chris down anyway and probably ran anyway. No, but they all forsook him, you know? But you remember when we read in Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up? Do you know who was also with Peter? All his disciples. All his disciples, our Lord's disciples, the 11, which Peter had been included, were all there. They were all standing up and giving glory to God. And when Peter was preaching that message to the thousands that were there, he says, we are all witnesses. What was he saying? Us guys that have forsook him are witnesses. The ones that when Jesus said, I am he, and ultimately we left him. You know, we just scattered out of there. We got out of there, right? Left him alone. We're standing up here to be a witness to you, to tell you we saw him. Do you know that the disciples, the majority of them, died as martyrs? Now, why would you die as a martyr? Do you ever think about this? They forsook him. The reality is this. In their minds, they got scared. They were like, we don't want to die with him. We don't know what's going to happen, right? Do you ever have people? There are some people who are that way, you know. They talk big, you know. Bob, if this happens and you can rest assured, I'll be there. You can almost rest assured they're not going to be there. Amen. There's a lot of people, they talk big, right? And I can just imagine, remember the disciples, they kind of talk big too. Yeah? We're going to die with you. Remember? Hey, remember the time when Lazarus died and Jesus told him, Thomas looked at him and said, all right, let's go with him. We're going to die, right? And but anyway, Peter said that and they said, Lord, we'll die with you. And the other disciples join in. And here was that time, what happened? They left. They forsook. Now, they're standing up with Peter as Peter is preaching to the thousands. And as he's preaching to thousands, all these people are listening. They see behind Peter, they see the ones who forsook him that are up in agreement saying, yep, that's true. He's alive. We're witnesses. Folks, I want you to understand, they gave a testimony. You know, a witness is someone you would tell what you saw. I sat on a grand jury. I'm just going to give you my personal opinion about a grand jury because I know that came up recently. The truth of the matter is that a grand jury, you do know they're just given information, enough information to give enough information based on the charges that are presented to say, is there enough evidence to pursue to go further to a jury, right? So when a grand jury indicts someone, they're just saying there's evidence here. That grand jury is not saying that person is guilty of the crime. They're just saying there's enough evidence of what's presented to move forward, right? So remember that. I know there's a lot of people say, no, you're innocent until proven guilty, right? And a lot of times, at least up in St. Lawrence County, I cannot tell you everything of a grand jury because when you sit on a grand jury, you are now prevented to communicate anything that has happened. I can't bring up any case that's there, right? Can't tell you stuff of it, right? I can give you generic stuff, but I can't tell you the case. Because the reality is, if so, I am now guilty, right? Makes you wonder, how does stuff get out in the news, right? You know, so there's an agenda of stuff. But that's all free for you, amen? But so if you think about that, right? There was a point I had for that. I knew there was a point. Well, how did I lose it? Witness, at this point. The lawyer would come in and say, hearsay, at a grand jury they allow hearsay. Right? And what they'll say is hearsay is someone saw something else and they'll tell you. Right? And they'll tell you that. In a grand jury they'll say hearsay. Right? And here it is, they would bring someone in, right? Again, I'm just doing generic, not of what happened. And here's Julianne came in, right? So Julianne didn't come in or anything like that. Julianne comes in and says, she would be sworn in, and then she would say, I heard from Joe, who heard from Diane, that Bob did this, right? And that's allowed in the grand jury, right? At least that grand jury, right? But anyway, that would be what came in, right? Then reality is this, as a witness, right? A witness would be this, that Diane herself said, I can witness and testify that I saw what Bob did. This is hearsay, right? Going through that's there, right? When these guys stood up and as a witness, they were saying this, hey, I want you to understand, this is not hearsay, you know? We didn't hear it through the grapevine. We saw it with our own eyes. He's alive. We're up here to testify as Peter is preaching about Jesus Christ. We're up here to testify. It's true. Folks, I want you to understand. And it just wasn't the apostles. The Bible says, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down here at verse 6, the Bible says, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, he's not talking about those people in Baptist churches that fall asleep. Amen? Shouldn't fall asleep. Sometimes, I guess, if you work really late and maybe you can't stay awake or whatever. But what he speaks of is death. Now, you think about this. This is approximately 20-plus years after Jesus arose from the dead, right, when God told Paul what to write this. And what he's saying is there were over 500-plus people at one time at a gathering. We'll talk about a church gathering. That would have been a good gathering, amen, when Jesus came in the midst of them, and those are 500-plus people with their own eyes saw Jesus. And even 20-some years later, that the good part, which means 250-plus, right, maybe 300, maybe 400, 400 people could still say, we saw him 20-plus years ago. We know he's alive. We saw him with our own eyes. That's what the scripture says. So you think about it, it wasn't just the ladies. It wasn't just Peter or the apostles. There was a large gathering of people that saw Jesus, that literally Jesus was there. And you imagine over 500-plus people that was there, and they saw Jesus with their own eyes. I mean, this isn't like Benny Hinn, amen? Don't watch that guy. He's a Looney Tune. Amen. But you have these crazy people that's on television. They'll tell you stuff. I can raise the dead, you know. But I'm going to do it over in Africa, but no one else can see it, right? But just send in your money to me, amen. I'm always amazed people send in money. But you'll have people like that, right? I did this, but no one has seen me, right? Over 500 people. Not just the ladies, not just the apostles, but there was over 500 people that could testify, would stand up and testify and say, listen, here's the truth. We saw him with our own eyes. He's alive and well. I want you to understand it's not just that, but if you go back in verse 4, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4, the scriptures itself witness of it. Now look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Go over here to the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28. Folks, I want you to understand the Bible testified or foretold, gave a prophecy that Jesus rose from the dead. It tells us, but it also foretold, right? That means it would tell us the future. And look what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Look at this. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Do you know the Bible tells us that it's recorded that Jesus told his disciples that he was going to rise from the dead? The Bible tells us that of the future. that how Jesus would die, but also how Jesus would arise. Folks, I want you to understand the witness of the Scriptures. Amen? I have talked to people, and I've talked to different people, and I have run into people and said, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe it's the truth. And I'll ask them, I'll say, what part? Oh, all of it. Well, show me. Show me what part is wrong. Oh, it's just not right. You know, why can't you show me? Amen? I mean, the truth of the matter, I have told one person, I was talking to him, I can't remember all the details, but it was something like this. If you can show me in Scripture, I promise you, I will get up, stand up before people and say, hey, it's not true. I said, why don't you go home and study it? Look it up. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I said, why not? Because, Bob, they know when they start digging into it. Do you know there's been atheists that have been so mad and hateful of God that at least they have gone to the Scripture with an open heart to say, I'm going to prove it wrong? To have come to the conclusion that says that this Bible is the truth? Folks, it is impossible for the Bible to foretell of things that were going to happen than for it to happen. Amen? Folks, there's no other book in the world that is like the Bible. None. Amen? Now, there's some people get all excited about Nicodemus, or not Nicodemus, Nostradamus, I probably said his name. Whatever his name is. And they get all excited and they say, hey, there's some stuff in there and he foretold of the future. Well, the truth of the matter is a lot of stuff you have to go through and kind of twist it around and kind of code it that's there and to look at it. That's not in the Bible where it talks about where Jesus would be born, the actual place, you know, the timing. Amen? I mean, it's not coded. Amen? I mean, it's a clearer Scripture. It's the truth. Amen? But anyway, you think about the Scriptures testify. Folks, I want you to understand, he's alive and well. I think I tell you this. I think I heard it one time, and I thought it was pretty good. But I mean, really think about this. Why would the disciples end up being martyrs? Because the reality is some people say, well, he's not alive. So let's think about this for a minute. So what would have happened would have been this. I would have sat down and said, hey, Chris, you and I need to talk, and Joe and the other Joe and Bob. We're all going to sit down. We got in the room, right? And as we sat in the room after when Jesus died, I sat around and said, hey, how are we going to get the stone rolled away, right? So we would have had to come up with a plan. Just take it away. And how are we going to get away from there's guards there. So we had to come up with a plan to get rid of the guards. And then after that, I would have looked at you guys and said, okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to steal the body of Jesus and we're going to take it somewhere and bury it, right? And then after we're going to do that, a couple months later, we're going to stand up before thousands of people and we're going to start telling them that Jesus is alive, right? So again, you think about this. If people are saying that this isn't true. And then Chris, it's going to cost you everything that you own. Chances are you'll never see your wife and your daughter, and you're going to die a martyr. Okay, Chris? You're going to be crucified, right? Chris is like, sure, sign me up. I'll, if I'm going to lie for someone, and I'm going to steal and bury them, and I'm going to become a martyr, that seems like a no-winner. You know, that sounds like a good one, right? And Joe, it's going to be the same with you. You're going to be tormented, tortured. Matter of fact, everything that you have is going to be gone because we're going to steal his body and then we're going to tell people he's alive. You're never going to see your wife again. You know? Joe's like, oh, great. I'll do that too, right? And here's Bob. He's going to say the same thing, right? Bob will say, yeah, I'm ready to die a martyr. I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago, I mean, I couldn't even stand for him, right? But no, I could do this. And then Rachel, they died as martyrs. I mean, would that make sense? You know, that doesn't make any sense at all. They all forsook him and now they're willing to die for him? Why would they do? Because he's alive. It's real. Amen? And the reality is because it's real, that's why they did. Folks, I want you to understand. Think of the witness. Think of the evidence. Amen? Folks, I could go through the on and on. I could be like the Energizer Bunny with this, amen? But the reality is, he's alive and well. But it's not just to them, but I want you to understand, even though I have never seen Jesus, amen? You know the pictures they have of Jesus is not him, amen? Rest assured, what you see is not him, amen? But I know he lives, because he lives in my heart, amen? I know when I got saved how God changed my life. I am not the same person I used to be. And the reality is, it's not reformation. Marilyn, I tried reformation. I did. When I was in college, I got out and I was living a rough life. I did reformation. Reformation is when you change the outside and you stop doing stuff. Do you know what it made me, Marilyn? One of the most miserable people in the world. Because there's a little hole that's in the heart that only Jesus can fill. See, I did reformation. I became very religious. But I was missing Jesus. I never received him as my Savior. I read the Bible. Never got anything from it. Amen. Matter of fact, I went out telling people that you need to come to church. I taught little kids, little boys and girls, before I got saved. I was reformed, right? And I was lost. But that day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, believing that he died and was buried and rose again, can I tell you, I could be a witness to you how he changed my life. And he gave me something I desired all of my life for, peace. And I got it now. And I could stand up here and be a witness because it's me with what happened. And I could tell you how he has changed my life. This book that I picked up before, and you know, Marilyn, I read the Bible through before I got saved. I read it the whole way through, cover to cover. That book never really spoke to me. But that day I got saved, I could be a witness to tell you, by reading this scripture, that speaks to my heart now. Why is that? Because he's alive and well. Amen? Because this Bible is very words of God. Amen? Can I tell you, it wasn't just one person. It wasn't just two. It wasn't just the disciples, as in the 12 disciples. There was a larger gathering. Do you know the Bible also tells us that there were people that rose from the dead after Jesus arose and went into that place and told them? Yeah? And they saw people that were dead. You see it at the book of Matthew. Matthew, I think chapter 27 or 26 at the end. You read there. He's alive. He's well. He's in my heart. How about you today? Amen? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you do, you are not the same person as you were before. I'm not saying you're perfect, but there's been a change that's within. You have a love now that's in your heart that you care for people that you may not have cared for before. You are a witness of the saving power of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about it. You are a walking miracle. You are. You were dead in your sins. And that day that you got saved, God saved you. You're no longer dead. As in your trespasses and sin, you are now forgiven. You are a walking miracle of the power of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who forgave you. Amen? You are a witness to that. Be a witness to people. Tell people of the peace that you have in your heart. How they can have peace. Because what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message was encouragement and help. Lord, there's so much that I could go through and preach, but I know that's what you laid on my heart this morning. And there was other things I was thinking about preaching, but Lord, I will just preach what you tell me to. I pray that this message and encouragement and it would help us in our walk. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray today would be the day. Lord, they make it known and they trust you as their Savior. And we'll turn this time of invitation over to you. We ask that Jesus in your precious name.